Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 6th of July, recording at 9:09 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first, a quick review of the week. In terms of global stock markets, we had strong action overall, and one of the main exceptions until today had been the China A and B share markets. And I think both had small upside key day reversals in here today, certainly indicating renewed demand coming in. And we had some very important breakouts for markets. India, for some of the markets that had been ranging for a long time, India and Thailand, being among them. Now, again, the European stock markets generally firm overall, ditto Wall Street, and closing out well here today with more gains. Government bonds are another matter. They've been heading south for most of this week, and they're giving up those gains from the technical rally that we had seen following last month's downward overextension in terms of bond prices. Now, the US dollar resumed its weaker tone in here today, and after an aborted rally attempt, that helped precious metals to firm here today, and we've got gold, this is bullion at 656 as I speak. That's up 6.5. And they've been firm generally. Platinum's been the steadiest of all, currently 309.50 on the first month contract. Now, industrial metals, well, it's been a story of lead being strong and nickel being weak within its medium-term correction. Lead's beginning to get a bit overextended. Nickel has certainly seen most of its downward move, in my view, as far as this medium-term correction is concerned, but it's likely to last a long time. Well, this is supposed to be the review, so I'm going to review the other things. And soft commodities, we've seen weakness in the grain and bean complex, but then rallying us over the last couple of days here. Crude oil rock steady, up again here today. As a matter of fact, here's a statistic. Crude oil, the NYMEX crude oil, has not been down for 2 days in a row since the first half of May. And that's persistent strength. Soft commodities, well, I've covered the grains and the beans. Cotton's been a tower of strength, although it's paused here recently. Sugar a bit steadier, cocoa a bit steadier. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets are strengthening once again, having had a fair amount of ranging overall, and they may see more of that. That's very much in line with what I've been talking about, the reaction and ranging phase helping to create some of those overextended conditions against the 200-day moving averages. And needless to say, the overall upward trends remain very much intact. So the bull run continues. That's the simple, clear message. Now, psychologically, all the people who are talking about bubbles and worrying about it and so on, I think I would regard here, as far as timing is concerned, as a contrary indicator. And I'd be far more worried if we were getting the old Dow Jones 3600 stories resurfacing once again. But we're not getting that kind of talk. People are not projecting any markets through the sky. They're really quite cautious, and that's a favorable background in terms of sentiment, in my view. Now, what do we need to be concerned about? The government bond yields. That's the single most important factor, as I have been saying for a considerable length of time. Another spike in long-dated bond yields would cause problems. It is just a matter of time before that occurs. But time, I don't think it's going to happen. Well, I suspect it won't happen in the short term, but more importantly, the charts will show us. And it could take, best case scenario is that it takes months before we get another real spike in the long-dated government bond yields. There are some grounds for hoping or suspecting that that might be the case because inflationary pressures are subsiding at the moment. This has been another Fuller Money forecast, but they're not going to subside by all that much. And of course, it varies from country to country. And one inflationary pressure that's not subsiding right now is the oil price, albeit that's in weak US dollars. So, and there is a risk with this long-dated government bond market that the denial that investors were expressing for such a long time, when it was so obvious to anybody who looked at the long-term charts that the last secular bull market in government bond prices ended in June 2003. In other words, that's when yields bottomed. I remember, I think we had the JGBs, that's the 10-year Japanese government bond yield. I think it got down to a minuscule yield of 0.47%. That means that over 10 years you'd be earning in JGBs, anybody who bought then would have been earning less than 0.5% a year on that long-term money. Absolutely ludicrous to the credit of some monetary official in Japan. He pointed that out. Was probably executed after that, or shunned, more likely. That was the bottom of the market, and for yields, in other words, the end of the secular bull market for long-dated government bonds. But they had a predictably long topping-out process because everybody was talking about deflation. So they were a bit complacent. They were looking in the rearview mirror, rather than looking at all the inflationary pressures, which have been a theme of this service for the last 5 years. Now, at least. Now, so there is a risk, and again, the charts will show us, that these bond yields could start to spike again sooner rather than later. I hope it won't happen, but the market doesn't care what I hope. And that would cause problems. Now, let's not lose any sleep over it, but if it happens, we'll know what the implications are and may want to take some defensive actions in terms of lowering leverage and not wanting to be chasing anything on the upside, culling out some things that maybe you're not so happy with in your portfolios, although I trust you don't have too many positions like that. Another factor to watch in here is, of course, the crude oil price. This is on a march to 80, and then it starts to become a front page news item, and that could cause some problems. It's impossible to guess at this stage when a particular factor, which is important, price of crude oil obviously is important, but it's impossible to tell at exactly what point the market is going to begin to seriously fret over it. But 80 is one of those sort of round phobia numbers that would ring bells. I think bells have already been ringing with the move over 70, but people so far are not really focusing on that all that much. Okay, the other factor, which I don't think, well, I'm going to stop. I was going to say, I don't think that it's a very short-term one, but it could be. Once again, the other factor that could rattle people, again, I've mentioned this for a long period of time, as I have with all three of these points, would be a slumping U.S. dollar. Now, slow decline in the U.S. dollar, no problem. Wall Street will like it. It has liked it so far. It needs that. Improves U.S. operating earnings. Americans who are investing onshore for whatever reasons, I favor global international investing, you know, the world's your oyster, go to where the best opportunities are. But Americans who are keeping their money in the U.S. Really ought to be concentrating on resources plays and multinational companies. Well, those resources plays are multinational companies for the most part. And because those multinational companies will be consolidating their overseas earnings in weaker U.S. dollars. And I do think that the outlook for the dollar remains negative, and there's a risk that the rate of decline for the U.S. dollar will pick up. I've written two pieces, part of the same feature, and it appeared on Wednesday and Thursday under the headline, "Is this the end of stability for currency markets?" And we're really talking about the dollar in here. Okay, so we need to watch for those factors because they would present hurdles in the path of these upward trends for global stock markets. Now, in terms of sector performance overall, I mean, the resources are doing fabulously well. Anything in the global infrastructure sphere is doing fabulously well. But it is an environment where there aren't that many things that aren't doing all that well, except Western banks aren't doing all that well, and they need to be watched. Because if they continue to deteriorate, that will cause, well, that would be a bearish lead indicator, as would weakness in the utility. So those need to be watched. Okay, I could go on all day, heaven forfend, that would be abuse of subscribers. Goodwill. So I'll move on. And I've covered the dollar, I've covered the bonds. The industrial metals, you know, in terms of commonality, they're not all doing the same thing at the same time as far as the short to medium term is concerned. It is very much a secular bull market. It's a secular bull market for all of these industrial resources, and that's been as plain as day for the last 5 years. And I think that it's going to go on and on and on, this story, at least until the next global recession. I don't see that right around the corner. And the next global recession may only represent a couple of years interruption in the commodity supercycle script. So in other words, it may be an outsized medium-term correction there. So again, this remains bullish. Weaker dollar, expect a stronger performance from precious metals. Now, a very astute subscriber who is buying gold coins, but mentioned that in strong sterling, which was his base currency, that gold was really extremely cheap, being priced in U.S. dollars, and he's absolutely right. Now, in the international beauty contest, gold has been beneath the radar recently, but, you know, this always changes. I'll put it this way, these are rolling fashions here, and gold is cheap, and it is a resource that is going to be popular in this environment. The underlying, from more often than not, the underlying bull story here is that we have a fiat currency world. Governments can print the stuff ad infinitum, and the rate at which new gold is produced is pretty slow relative to the potential demand. Are the charts signaling that gold is about to run right now? No, but we could get that at any day because it is cheap. And I've nibbled a little bit again this week, and Owen was nibbling here today. And it's good gain in the future. It's up $7 today. And with that dollar weak, this is something that when it starts, it's probably going to be surprisingly strong, and I want to be there. But rather than have a big position now, I'm going to use a more conservative tactic of leveraging up behind trailing stops. Okay. And crude oil. Well, I've already discussed that. Very, very strong. Everybody is saying it's not demand, it's a supply problem. Well, demand is still going up. I accept that it is a supply problem here in the short term. Nigeria is not producing as much as it could. Venezuela is probably not producing as much as it could. These nationalizations involve a reduction in efficiency. OPEC had reduced its production voluntarily somewhat, and that has certainly helped to raise prices overall. But again, this is a supply and elasticity meets rising demand theme. It's not as dramatic, I admit, as the, or I've often stated, it's not something to admit. It's not as dramatic a supply and elasticity situation as with the industrial metals, but it is real. And again, crude oil remains in a secular bull market. Okay, agricultural commodities very much weather influenced. Some favorable weather out of the U.S. knocked them back a few, at least 2 weeks ago, and we may get a little bit more chopping and changing activity here overall. But again, demand is rising very strongly, and any supply problems, and these markets are really quite strong. So I think that's it for another week. Quite an interesting week, and no doubt we'll have more excitement and hopefully some good profitable situations or more profits coming next week as well. And on that same subject, those of you who have the Atlantis China Fund or any China fund, and those of you who have the India funds, those who have the Thai funds, the Diversified Asian funds, those of you who have the mining funds. And this has been a very good week, particularly in that Asian sector. So, all the best to all of you. Have a great weekend.